If you have your scriptures this morning, you would turn to the book of Galatians. It's the epistle of Paul to the apostle to the Galatians. I want to read the first 12 verses of this chapter, and you pray for us because there's a lot in here that I've been thinking about. Paul, an apostle, and notice the parentheses. Paul, an apostle. He could have just said that and put a period there, but he didn't. He said, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He wants you to know who his boss is, if I could say it that way. And the word apostle in the scriptures means someone that has been sent. That's basically the short definition of an apostle is somebody that's been sent. We could even say that he is a representative of the one that sent him. We could even call him an ambassador. But the apostle says, I am not a minister of men. My ministry is of the Jesus Christ. And he lets you know who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. I spent some time last evening. It's good to do this sometimes. Get your maps out. These are real places in the Bible. And some of them may not be the way that we call them or what they are called today, but they're still there. But Galatia it's not a city, by the way. I don't always thought it was a city. It's not a city. It's a region. A province of Rome at this particular time. But notice the plural, all of the brethren which are with me unto the churches, plural. So there's more than one church here that the apostle is writing to, but he's writing to the churches of Galatia. Okay. Grace to be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Did you ever see the word amen? You know what it means? Did you ever think about it? We say amen in our prayers. Why do we say that? Well, first of all, when we say amen, it's let it be. That's basically what it means. Let it be so. Or if you're sitting here, and you could say amen if you want to, if you say amen, that means I agree. But in this sense, it's the apostle is saying, so be it, or let it be. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have preached, which we have preached, let him be accursed. As we said before, and to say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For I do not persuade men, I'm sorry, I didn't read that correctly. For do I persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. Nor did I receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The apostle Paul said, and we know the story of Paul, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He persecuted the church. He stood by as they stoned Stephen to death. He at one time was a persecutor, and he said a blasphemer. But when God arrested, he literally arrested him. He was on his road to Damascus with orders in his hands, and he arrested him. It says that he didn't go up to Jerusalem to ask all these brethren, well, what's the doctrine? What am I supposed to be preaching? What's the principles of the church? He didn't do that. He says, I didn't receive this from men. I received what I'm teaching you and preaching to you. I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, when people say, well, this is just Paul's opinion. No, It's not an opinion. It's inspiration. He said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and they're profitable. The apostle Paul said, I didn't learn what I'm going to tell you from any man. I learned it from God. And there's several things that I'd like to point out, but I'd like to go back up to verse 4 and look at that for a moment. Now, maybe I need to get 5 to get the context. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, comma, notice, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. You know, if we look around at all, and I appreciate the prayer Brother Tom prayed, Lord, help us to get past all of this stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of evil in this world. And you, if you can imagine, people, just because you're a Christian, blowing up your church. There's all kinds of evil in this world. Evil, you know, when we have instructions in the Lord's Prayer. He said, deliver us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Have we prayed that prayer, that God would deliver us from the evil of this world? Now, there is one way that we can be delivered from the evil. One day we're going to be delivered from the very presence of evil. But we have here the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the gospel. We have the great news. And by following after his teachings, we can escape that corruption that's out there. By following after. He said that if a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make his enemies to be at peace with him. And that's what, do you believe that God's able to do that, to make your enemy, be your friend? But anyway, there's a lot of evil in the world. And he says, who gave himself for our sins. I want us to think about the word for in that text. He gave himself. The word for sometimes means because of. Sometimes it means for this cause. So he said, for God gave himself because of our sins. Because of our sins. That's why he had to die. You know, people say, well, why did Jesus have to die? Well, the answer is given here, who gave himself for our sins. If we could just imagine, if we could just in our hearts, in our minds, think about what our sins was. You know, what is the result of sin? What is sin? I mean, sin is, according to several different places, sin is the literal meaning is falling short. It means it is a transgression of the law. And we have various places in the scriptures where it says that the wages of sin is death. He said, by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men for all of sin. When we understand the doctrine of original sin, when God gave the law in the Garden of Eden, he said, of all the trees of the garden, you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. But because in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, Adam lived 930 years, I think, longer, naturally speaking. But he said that it didn't say day that you're going to, when you eat this, you're going to die in 930 years. My point here is this. He died the very day, the very instant he partook of that fruit. And how did he die? He didn't die physically. But he died spiritually. He died a death. He was separated from God. You look and you go different places in the scripture. God looked down upon man and he said, they've all gone aside. I mean, God actually, do you believe in a God that can see everything? You believe in a God that can see the end from the beginning? In other words, he can see over there at the end. He sees the very end of all these things. But he's also, he can see all the things in the middle. He knew what was going to happen before it happened. And therefore, because he knew what was going to happen, he provided a remedy for sin before it happened. And we know all of these things because it says, for whom he foreknew, he predestinated, and he predestinated, he called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. All of those things are the same people. All those people were all, he said, and we know in Matthew 1:21, we love that text, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Well, this is what our text says, who gave himself for our sins. Now, if we want to think about, and this is why the Apostle Paul, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel of Christ unto another gospel. The Apostle Paul, if you go and you look in the book of Acts, you see that he made several journeys, and he went up in through Galatia and around and through Antioch and all around. You can, if you get your maps, you can see that it actually shows the they call it the first missionary journey, the second and the third. But the first time he went up and he preached the gospel to these folks. What did he preach? He preached that Jesus died for your sins. He preached that Jesus rose again from the dead the third day. He preached that every single one for whom Jesus died shall one day be with the Lord in eternal glory. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. That's the gospel he preached to them. And he preached, I'm sure he preached the salvation by grace. You say, we believe in salvation by grace. Well, what does grace mean? It means an unmerited favor bestowed upon an unworthy creature. And if we, I've said this before, I think the problem is that most folks that believe that they've got to do this and they've got to do this and they've got to do all these different things in order to become a child of God. But my question is, how do they do that if they really believe that the scripture says that man is dead in sin? Dead. Well, you say, well, we're not really dead. We're not dead physically, but we are dead. A person who, every single one that is born of a woman, every single man that has an earthly father and an earthly mother comes into this world in sin. He may be a little baby, but he is conceived in sin. Death is a result of sin. And I want to just very quickly turn over to Psalms 14. And show you what God saw when he looked down upon man. And sometimes we can't quite understand how dead, you know, is there any degrees in death? Is there anything such thing as deadest? I mean, well, you say, well, that the person's dead. Well, how dead is he? Well, he doesn't have any life. That's the problem. That's the point. There is no degrees in it. And so if we believe what the scripture says, by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. For all have sinned. Okay, Psalms 14. This is what God saw when he looked down from heaven. He says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, there's a lot of people out there in the world that do not believe in Jehovah God. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of folks out there that believe in another God besides Jehovah God. They've got all these different gods, but I'm telling you, there is only one God. That's what we believe in this church. We believe there's only one God, and with three different, office works, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Not three gods, one God. So it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What's a fool? The scripture says we're not supposed to call a man a fool. But a fool is somebody that is totally without knowledge. That's what I mean. It really is not a real bad. I mean, when somebody calls you a fool, it's very, very insulting, to say the least. But a fool is somebody that denies the truth. Let me tell you, I heard this say, somebody that they keep doing the same things over and over and over. They do this and they do this and they get the same results every time. But they don't take the results. They just keep doing it over and over. A person that continues to do something over and over, trying to change their end of it, the results, is a fool. The end of the thing is, now notice, there is no God. Now this is what God saw. And this is, I think, the problem that a lot of our Christian friends maybe don't understand what we believe as the doctrine of total depravity. We believe that man is totally incapable of assisting his own self in his salvation. Now notice it says they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none. Listen to this point. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven. That's what he says. He looked. What did he see? We said, well, surely there's one good person on earth. Surely maybe God missed some of them, you know. Maybe he missed somebody. But what did he see? He looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek after God. Now this is a hard pill for some people to believe that man by nature is totally separated from God. Totally. And this is what he saw. He looked down and he saw, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek after God. Did he find any? Now notice what he said. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Remember who's looking here. It's not us. God is the one that's doing the looking. And he sees all things. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. Therefore, I say unto you, brothers and sisters, that God saw every human being that would ever be born. You think he's limited to just the people on earth at that time? You say, well, that was just then. Well, what about now? He looked from the end to the beginning. That's what he saw. Well, how are we going to be saved? And this was the problem that the rich young, you remember the rich young ruler, the story of the rich young ruler? He came running to the Lord and he said, Lord, what good thing must I do that I may have eternal life? What good thing must I do that I may have eternal life? What'd the Lord say? He said, well, what says the law? What does the law say? He said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. And he went down through those things and he says, oh, that's good. But one thing, just one thing you lack. One thing. What's the 10th commandment? You think about that? What's the 10th commandment? Thou shalt not covet that which is thy neighbor's. Thou shalt not. In other words, covetousness, the Apostle Paul identifies as idolatry. Because when you're covetous, you're loving something besides God more than you love him. And he said, but one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and give unto the poor and take up your cross and follow me. Now, some folks would say, well, that man went to hell, didn't he? The scriptures don't teach that. It says in one of the chapters in Mark 10, it says Jesus beholding him loved him. So he was loved by God. You say, well, doesn't God love everybody? Well, I'll let you answer that question. He loves those that he foreknew. He loves those that Jesus died for. Every single one that he loved. And that's a multitude, every kindred, tongue, and nation and people. It's a multitude times 10,000 times thousands and thousands. More, he said, more numerous than the sands of the sea. There's going to be a lot more people in eternal glory than a lot of people think there is. You know, I heard you say, he said, a guy got up to heaven, he looked around and said, how'd you get in here? You know, they might be thinking the same thing about you. But you see, if you go up to, and this is what somebody say, well, you go up to the gates of heaven, there's St. Peter, the golden gate. Forget that. That's made up. Peter's not the one that has the entrance to heaven. But there's St. Peter at the golden gate. And he looks there and he says, let me see here. Yeah. You did a lot of good things. Oh, man, there's some bad stuff you did over here. Well, there's another good thing. But, you know, really, there's more bad that you did than good. So you're going to have to go up. You can't come into heaven. What is that telling you? That, by the way, brethren and sisters, you think I'm making that up, but that's being taught out there in the world. There's one group of people that I know of that says, well, you don't have eternal life here. You just have it in potential. You don't really know if you're a child of God until you get to heaven and he says, come on in. Now, this is the question. If you're standing at the gate, here's the question. Why would God let you in to his heaven? What did you do to get in? Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, that you didn't do anything to get in? You did, Jesus did it all for you, and there is not one thing that you can, and this is the point that the Apostle Paul is making here. These people were saying, except you keep the law of Moses and be circumcised and do all these things, you can't be saved. That's another gospel. It's not the gospel that the Apostle Paul was teaching in these chapters. So, and the rich young ruler, he said he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he was very rich. He was not willing to sell what he had. He was not willing to give it to the poor. And he was not willing to follow Jesus. So he went away sad. And the apostles, they were sitting around there watching this. And they said, Lord, how can men be saved? Now, that's a good question. What must you do to be saved? How can you get into heaven? What's the answer? He said, the answer is, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You know, how many of us understand what impossible means? You say, well, it's not really that impossible. It's, yeah. Impossible means it can't happen. With men, it can't happen. We could go to several different places in the scriptures, but the point here is, if you got somebody here that says they got to do this and this and this and this in order to become a child of God, then that's another gospel. That's what the true gospel teaches us. It says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In another place, Titus, he says, he says, in hope of eternal life, this is a point I want, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised when? In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot promise before the world began. He promised, he said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I mean, I want you to think about something that happened before Genesis, before God created the earth. He said there was a promise made. Now, who is the promise made to? It was made to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was the promise that he said, of all that I've given you, you're going to, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now then, Titus 3 and 5 another point I was wanting to get out of here. Notice and we're talking about eternal salvation. Eternal life. How do you get it? He says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. How many of us understand that's not hard. That's not a hard text to understand. It may be a hard text for you to accept. But it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us and washed us in regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which was shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I mean, 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. A holy calling. How does he call you? He calls you from death in sin to life in Jesus Christ. God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works. I wish just we could just let that part sink in. It's not according to what you do. It's not according to what you say. It's not according to good things that you do. There's only one reason that when you get to heaven, why would I let you in my kingdom, my heaven? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. He has redeemed me by his blood. And I stand before your court, God, justified. You know what justified means? It means you have been declared righteous. And the opposite of justification is condemnation, isn't it? I mean, there's going to be some that's condemned. You know, Brother Randy's been preaching out on the wrath of God here lately. I mean, one of the points that I really like, he said, he hath delivered us. We have been saved. We have been delivered from the wrath to come. God saved us, and he called us with a holy calling. And it wasn't according to our works. So when you get up to heaven, there's not going to be any such thing as this. But if you get up there and somebody says, why should I let you in? You say, because Jesus' blood washed my sins away. That's the only way you're going to make it. And until you have been quickened, until you have been called, this is why, and it's an important point in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, you hath he quickened. Ephesians 2:1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. What does do we need to go back and explain dead again? The word means totally without life. You have nothing. And so if you have a person here, and I've heard this illustrated before. Well, have you ever heard somebody say, well, dead sinner, if you'll take the first step, and let me know that you want me to save you, then I'll save you. But the point here is, does the dead walk? We've had people who said dead man walking. But these people that are dead, they're just as dead in sin as Lazarus was in the grave. Remember that? Remember the story of Lazarus? To Jesus, and this is a wonderful point they made at the service at both of the services, that to God, these bodies of his people are sleeping. That's what they sent for Jesus and said, our friend Lazarus is sick. Well, the apostles said, well, if he's sick, he's doing well. And then he said, Lazarus sleepeth. Well, Lord, if he's asleep, it's okay. He's doing well. He said, and he told them plain, Lazarus is dead. Now then, did the apostles say, well, how dead is he? No, Lazarus is totally without life. He's in the grave, brothers and sisters. He's in there, and they said, well, where do you have laid him? And they said, roll away the stone. And they said, by Lord, by now he stinketh. That's the only thing that a dead person can do is stink. That's about all he can do. Oh, so, he said, by now it's 4 days and he's stinketh. Was that too hard for the Lord? Now, and I said this to Brother Mark just yesterday, or Friday. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And I believe if he had not said, Lazarus, come forth, everyone that was in the grave would have come out of that grave. Everyone that was in the grave. I want you to think about, Lazarus is dead. Dead. Jesus, this is the same way when we're dead in sin, the same way that Lazarus is given life, we get life. He said, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of God and shall live. So that's what this word quicken. You hath he quickened who were dead. You were dead, but you're not dead now. And wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Now notice this text. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What's the difference in these people? He said, you hath he quickened. And you walked according to the course of this world. You were doing everything that they did. The only difference between the elect and the non-elect, they both look just alike. They walk just alike. They act just alike. They do all the same things. They are by nature the children of wrath. The difference is that they were chosen in Christ Jesus before the world began. You say, well, how do we know who these are? We don't know who they are. But the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows his spirit, who they are. And he's not, there's not one single one that's going to receive this quickening except those that was Jesus, that was given to Jesus before, and he died for their sins. This is the gospel that the Apostle Paul was preaching. He's not here. This is this other gospel. He said, I can't believe that I've gone up there and you have turned aside to another gospel. You know, he says to him in the third chapter, and I'll close with these verses. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you? He said, who has put a spell over you? You're under an evil spell. If you believe that you have to do something, if you have to keep the law of Moses and you have to do all these different things, and they may have even been teaching if you do something bad and you don't get it. There's people that say if you do this and you do that and you go out here, you're a child of God today, but if you go out and you do some things that are bad and you don't have a chance to repent or somebody doesn't say some words over you, then you're going to go to the other place. That's another gospel. It's not this gospel. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? That's a fair question. Did you keep the law in order to receive the Spirit of God? That's what Paul's asking. Or did you receive it by the hearing of faith? Oh, you foolishness. Notice he said, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You begun in the Spirit, but you've got to just keep on doing these good things, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you see, when we were born of the Spirit of God, God didn't take us out from under His moral laws. It's still a sin to lie. It's still a sin to steal. It's all of these things that are under. He didn't take us out from under that law, but we have been redeemed from that law of sin and death. Do you know what that law of sin and death is? That's the one where Adam sinned in the garden, and he plunged every single one of his children, every one of his descendants, every Adam creature is dead in sin. There's not any good, not one. We're all just alike until Jesus quickens us, until we're quickened by the Spirit of God. He calls us from death, just like he called Lazarus out of the grave. He said, come forth, my child, and you receive life. The only thing that's going to give you life is the voice of God. That's the only way. And the only way that we're going to live in heaven is if Jesus died for your sins. If you get up to heaven and you have one single sin on your account that hasn't been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, he's going to say, depart from me, you cursed. You see, he didn't just save us part of the way. He saved us all of the way. All the way. And our names are written in the book of life. This blows the minds of people. You know, how do you get your name written in the book of life? You don't get your name written in the book of life. It was put there, but I mean, were you there before the foundation of the world? Did you do something to get your name written? Well, you didn't do anything to get your name put in there, and you can't do anything to get your name erased. You know, people think God's up there with a big old eraser. Well, your name's in there. Well, you didn't rape you out. Okay, he said, forgive me, so I'll put him back in. And God's not erasing people's names. He has redeemed those people. They are engraven in the palms of his hands. I want you to see that. He said, my children, they're all engraved in the palm of the hand. Engraved means it's down in here. And in order for you to be taken out of the hand of God, you have to take part of the hand away. We want to believe the gospel that Paul preached, don't we? Not the gospel that somebody's out here trying to teach. And there's people just doing the same thing to God's people today as they were doing then. You got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this and you got to do all these things. And you can't be saved unless you do this and this and this. That's another gospel, Brother Tom. And it's not according to the Word of God. It's not by what you do. It's by what Jesus did. Period. You know, you say, well, I believe in salvation by grace, but nope. You put the but in there, you bet all the grace out. Because there can't, grace is not a combination of what you do and what, you know, people say, well, I believe that God did all he could. He did all he could. And the rest is left up to you. He did everything he could. Now then, you've got to, and I, you know, I've heard this too. This is how election is. God was up in heaven. He looked down in on the earth and he said, he saw all of those on earth that was going to accept him. And all those that was going to be, that was going to do good and do what they're supposed to. And he chose them because of what they were going to do. That's salvation by works. I don't care if it's before the foundation of the world or now. Still the same. We are saved by, and brethren and sisters, we ought to be sharing this gospel with everybody that we can get to listen. You know what's going to save people from the other gospel? This gospel. This gospel will save you. It will get you to heaven. But he said, moreover, brethren, I declare in thee a gospel by which you're saved, which you have received, if you keep it in memory. You see, we can be deceived. We can be, you know, there was one time that somebody was teaching that the resurrection is already over. It's already over. And it says, they overthrew the faith of some. If I could convince you that the resurrection, well, we believe in the resurrection, but it's already done. There's only 144,000 that made it. There's only 144,000 up there. And the resurrection is already over. The resurrection when Jesus rose from the grave, and you're not in that. Well, you're just going to have to get along the best you can. That's pitiful. But that's being taught. I can take you to, I can show you where people are teaching that other gospel. We believe in this gospel. And we ought to be thankful to God for it. Because our believing this is not of our own. We give this by the Spirit of God. We believe the gospel when it's preached to us. And there's a lot of God's little children out there that need to hear it. And we are witnesses to it. Go and tell your friends the good things that God's done for you.